WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
My guest is cartoonist John Peck, also known as the Mad Peck. But actually, I'll be talking with his alter ego, Dr. Oldie. Dr. Oldie was once the on-air name John Peck used when he was a Rhode Island disc jockey. Then Dr. Oldie began appearing as a rock music critic in a comic strip drawn by Mad Peck. Some of these strips have been collected in a book called Mad Peck Studios, a 20-year retrospective. The studio's first business venture was the publication of a catalog that sold rock posters and other 60s paraphernalia through the mail. The studio went on to produce concert posters, T-shirts, and lots of comic strips. After critiquing rock music, Dr. Oldie began to talk about television in a strip called This Week in TV History. Dr. Oldie still collects records, and he told me that making the transition from rock critic to TV commentator was easy.
All popular culture is connected. I mean, when you get down there on the street level or on the consumer level, people don't really make the distinctions between one medium and the other. And in fact, if you watch television, television is actually bringing you every other medium of entertainment and advertising. And when you go out on the street, you're bombarded with TV images to reinforce what they've told you on TV. So it's not a question of being for or against it. It's going with the flow.
Dr. Oldie, you actually delivered a paper at the Conference on New Directions in Television Research at the University of Michigan. I believe the paper was entitled How J.R. Got Out of the Air Force and What the Derricks Mean, referring, of course, to the television program Dallas. What do the Derricks mean?
Gee, I don't know if we can say that on the radio. I mean, they're phallic symbols.
That same sort of symbol also shows up in the opening credits of Dynasty. Have you noticed whenever they show a man, he's either opening a bottle of champagne or there's a fountain going off or something like that? Do you constantly look for those kinds of symbols, that kind of analysis when you're watching television?
Oh, well, that's why we like to work at Mad Peck Studios in cartoon form. There are people who want that sort of analysis, and there are people who really don't. And by employing more than one character in a review, that gives you many voices, and I would not necessarily be speaking to you, but perhaps the people who appear in another panel of the cartoons would be more in line with the way you look at things.
The column that we are seeing now, been in the Village Voice, This Week in Television History. Did anything significant happen this week in television history?
It's hard for me to remember. Actually, that series is in its summer reruns now. I think this is the week that nothing ever happens. is this still the third week in August?
Yes. This is the week that nothing happens.
Well, that was the cartoon that I ran 2 years ago. I think actually some things did happen. I think this is about the time Nixon abdicated. But see, Weeks change from year to year. That's one of the strange things about working with calendars.
Hang on, I think I've got one. This is the week of August 17th, and it says here in your book, Mad Peck Studios, a 20-year retrospective, on August 20th, 1955, Andy Devine replaced Ed as host, and Andy's gang ran five more years. Smiling Ed McConnell and his gang. He was the one...
Oh, right. That was... This wonderful television show when I was a child. Actually, it was a radio show, I believe, started in 1942. And when they adapted it to television, it was incredibly cheesy. They showed adventure movies that were supposed to be shot in Africa, and it was two guys from the Bronx in bathing suits standing in front of a back projection screen with some Frank Buck footage. But they had this character, Froggy the Gremlin, on it, who was quite wonderful. And
he was the Pluck Your Magic Twanger, Froggy, yes?
Right. And it's weird. Everybody remembers that, but you'll never see it again because the show was so bad. I saw one episode of it on public broadcast television in that series they used to run called Golden Age of Television, and it was embarrassingly bad.
What are some of the more esoteric pieces of trivia that you've been able to come up with? One of the ones that you mention in the book is the date that the pig was born on Oh, Green
July,
Acres?
July 4th. Yeah, he's a Yankee Doodle Dandy. Arnold Ziffel is the character name on Green Acres. In real life, I guess he's known as Arnold the Pig. At least that's what he's commonly come to call. And apparently he was born on the 4th of July, which... how more American can you get? My favorite thing about Arnold Ziffel is that he's the one person in all of fictional TV that is not only allowed to watch as much television as he wants, but is encouraged to. Television has a very weird view of itself. It's always kind of apologizing that to the public that they make people watch too much TV. But because Arnold was a pig and because watching television is such a breakthrough for an animal... he was held up in very high esteem on that show for watching TV all the time.
Maybe you can answer this question for me. What did Ozzie Nelson do for a living, aside from buttoning his cardigan?
I guess he collected royalties. He was a band leader and had some hit records. He and his wife, he met his wife. She was a singer. They got married. They toured. They had a very successful radio show. He didn't have to do anything.
And he didn't.
Right. So I think, in a sense, because he was so famous, not to my generation growing up, but to my parents' generation, who knew them from the radio and so forth, just assumed that he had achieved the great American success, and that's why it was never questioned.
Another interesting piece of trivia that you come up with is that John Forsythe and Linda Evans, who star in Dynasty, actually appeared together in television before. Was it Bachelor Father?
Yes, although she was a juvenile at the time. She was one of the Kelly, that's the name of the adopted niece, whatever it was. She was over there for a pajama party or something, which in the Freudian sense gives a very weird cast to it when you see it in rerun.
There's a lot of interest now in old television programs. Is it more than just nostalgia?
Well, I mean... it's exactly nostalgia, but I think the word has been overused so that it just has no meaning anymore. A lot of, especially black and white TV, went away and now is coming back as people are willing to look at the entire past body of work of television as literature and say, oh, well, now that we look back, gee, this was good and this was not so good, which is maybe what they hadn't thought before. And don't forget, you know, every year more people are being born who are seeing these things for the first time.
How soon before we see Vanna White in some cartoons?
She's impossible to parody. I mean, she really is the consummate television spokesperson. There's just something about the way she's put together. Her features are a little larger than what a fashion model would have, because she's almost always viewed in a medium shot when she's standing there turning the letters. You're getting a full shot of her. And so her television, her features and her gestures are just perfect for television. The only reason people really notice her is because the show is so immensely popular that people just go nuts about anything about the show and she happens to be there. Otherwise, she's nothing more than a superb craftsman. I saw her appear on David Letterman, and she gave a wonderful account of herself. She just did not take herself at all seriously. David didn't even get a chance to make fun of her because she was sort of busy making fun of herself.
Dr. Oldie, will we be hearing from you again? What are you going to be doing next?
Well, I'm going to be putting out, along with Mad Peck Studios and I think Doubleday, I don't know if papers have been signed yet, a collection of the TV cartoons that appeared for the past 2 years in The Voice and Cream. And I've got to get some more records out of storage. I've been missing quite a few lately, and doing the Mad Peck Studios book took a lot of our time.
John Peck, also known as the Mad Peck, whose comic strips have been collected in a book, Mad Peck Studios, a 20-year retrospective, published by Doubleday.